Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you know, back in my younger days, I'm still young, but back in my younger days, my housemate and I decided to open up our small home, very small apartment that we used to live in Roma there. And lots of people, well, not lots of people, but a fair number of young people came and joined us, and it was great. So never mind the space, never mind how big the place. It's not even about the portionness of the place. Our place was really, really small, like really small, you know. Almost the size of my current kitchen right now. I mean, even my kitchen is bigger, you know. But we had like 12 people come in, and God did amazing things. Some of them met each other there, and they're married, and they're parenting children, and so we're grateful to God for that. And others are serving God, and so it's good. So if you're here, and you've got a home, you've got space, you don't need to be fancy. Just open it up, sign up, and invite people to come and serve God together. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that what we know not, you would teach us. What we have not, you would give us. And where we've been not, you would take us. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 14. Now, for those that would like to sign up to host or lead the connection group, please, you can sign up at the connection group table at the end of the service. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, and we continue in this sermon series on issues from Corinth. Now, let me just make a disclaimer before we get into the detail of the word. This message is not a standalone message. It must be referenced and listened to. It must be heard. It must be received in context of all the other messages that have been preached in this series. And so last week, Pastor Walker preached from chapter number 13. The week before that, he preached from chapter number 12. And so for you to be able to understand the full context of what we're going to talk about this morning, I highly encourage you to go to the previous messages. This message must be heard, must be received, it must be listened to, it must be applied in context of all the other messages, the preceding messages in this series. Now, a rule of thumb with Scripture. Every this must be read in context of the chapter. Every chapter in context of the book, and every book in context of the entirety of Scripture. So there is no such a thing as a standalone verse, and you form an opinion on that verse alone. We read every verse in context of the chapter, and read every chapter in context of the book, and read the book in the entirety of Scripture. So what I'm saying is that this message must be heard, must be received, must be listened to, and must be applied in context of the entire series on the book of 1 Corinthians. And so we find ourselves here in chapter number 14, of this incredible letter that was written by the Apostle Paul. Now, in chapter number 14, there are three things that Paul is addressing. The first thing he's addressing is tongues, he addresses prophecy, and he addresses maintaining order in public worship. Now, for this morning, we will keep our focus on the topic of tongues. Now, speaking in tongues is a subject that arouses a great deal of curiosity, interest, and even joy. And at the same time, or on the other hand, it also stirs up a lot of animosity. It sparks heated debates. And sometimes it leads people to a form of pomposity. And, pomposity about their beliefs. You might be wondering why we are even bothering to discuss this matter this morning. You see, the issue of tongues was an issue then, and it's an issue today. And now I like to start by asking a question. So today's question is, speaking in tongues, why bother about it? So in your notes, wherever it is that you're writing down, just write this question down. Speaking in tongues, why bother about it? I like to ask a question that becomes the premise of my message. Well, it turns out that some people consider it safer to steer clear of the topic of speaking in tongues. They fear that engaging in it might make them seem unfruitful to the teachings of Scripture. Others think that it will make you look like you lack common sense, that you are impractical or that there's something wrong with your mind, that you're mentally unstable. Now, these concerns have caused many people to shy away from this intriguing subject. So today, as we explore speaking in tongues and we try to shed light on it, as we embark on this journey, I pray that you come with open hearts and open minds, ready to be led by the Holy Spirit and to be taught by the Word of God. And so my title this morning is Tongues, Why Bother? Now, allow me to answer my own question, speaking in tongues, why bother about it from the onset? Why should we actually bother about speaking in tongues? Well, the reason is simple. Firstly, speaking in tongues is supported by Scripture. It was predicted by Jesus. It was practiced by the early church. It's documented in the Gospels, and it's recorded in the writings of the apostles. So speaking in tongues, in a nutshell, is scriptural. Secondly, speaking in tongues is sensible when it is approached biblically. When done with understanding and in accordance with the principles outlined in the Word of God, it holds meaning and significance. It must be clarified from the onset. Let me clarify this. Let me clarify this very clearly. It must be clarified from the onset that there is the gift of tongues and there is the grace of tongues. The gift of tongues is the manifestation of a tongue and an interpretation of that tongue in a public setting or public worship. The grace of tongues is the grace that is given to every believer to pray in a language which is other than an earthly language. So there is the gift of tongues and there is the grace of tongues. And so you see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 10, Paul speaks about the gift of tongues. In chapter number 14, he clarifies the grace of tongues. But then towards the end of chapter number 14, he speaks about how these two interlink and how they are to be demonstrated in a public worship setting. Thirdly, speaking in tongues has practical value. It serves as a means for personal expression and communication with God, as well as a source of edification and encouragement within the community of believers. Lastly, speaking in tongues is neither gibberish or mindless. It is a spiritual form of communication with God. It may sound ignorant to those who haven't experienced it, but it's a valid and meaningful expression of our faith. Let's go to the text. We're going to read a couple of verses from chapter number 14. We're going to read sections of chapter number 14. Let's begin with the first section, which is from verse number 1 to verse number 5. And the Apostle Paul says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts." So as you pursue love, also have a desire for spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their building up and encouragement and consolation. Underline those words: building up, encouragement, and consolation. Building up, encouragement, and consolation. That is the purpose of prophecy. Prophecy is given for building up, for encouragement, and for consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all, underline that in your Bibles, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. So what Paul is saying here, he's not saying, I want you all to speak in tongues, but meaning I'm relegating speaking in tongues. He's saying, I want you all to speak in tongues that you may prophesy. That you may prophesy. No one, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now we move on to verse number 13, the next section from verse number 13. Let's start at verse number 13. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, or in other words, I will pray in tongues, but I will also pray with my mind, with my understanding. I will sing praise with my spirit in tongues, but I will also sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So the Apostle Paul spoke in tongues. So what Paul did, I want to do also. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Let's skip over now to verse number 22. Verse number 22, and we're going all the way until verse number 33. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. While prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders and unbelievers enter, would they not say that you're out of your minds? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. And so here Paul is not saying that we shouldn't speak in tongues in a private setup. He's just clarifying to say that if someone comes in the church and everyone is speaking in tongues, they will not be able to understand what is being said. And because of that, the sign to the unbeliever is this, is that because of that, they will not be able to get the message of the message that is being communicated, and they will be left out. So then, let's look at verse number 26. What then, brothers? What then? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, let all things be done for building up. For if you speak in a tongue, let there be only one or two or three, and each in turn, and let them interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. So here Paul is speaking about the gift of tongues, the public manifestation of a tongue and an interpretation. So when there is a manifestation of tongues, there must be an interpreter. One, two, or three. Otherwise, he says, let him keep quiet and speak to himself and to God. And you can exercise the grace of tongues when you speak to God on your own. For if a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the God of confusion, but of peace. We just ended at verse number 33. So when you bother really about something, you ask some critical questions. And some of the critical questions that you ask is what, why, when, and how. Now there are three things that we're going to see this morning about this very important biblical subject. Number one, what are tongues? Number two, why are tongues important? And number three, when should we use tongues? When should we use tongues? What, why, and when? So let's begin with what. What are tongues? Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, clarity is given that speaking in tongues is described as the ability for a Christian or a believer to speak to God in a language that they don't know, a language that is empowered or enabled by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 14 gives direction and clarification about both the gift of tongues, which needs interpretation in a public setup, and praying in tongues, or praying in the Spirit, the grace of tongues. The gift or the grace are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Whether it's the gift manifesting or it's the grace in action, both are empowered by the Holy Spirit. One scholar defines speaking in tongues as follows. Speaking in tongues is praying and praise, spoken in syllables not understood by the speaker. It is a language that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's important to understand this, that the word in the Greek text of, in chapter number 14, which is used for tongues or languages, is the word from which we get the English word dialect. That is the same word which is used there for tongue or for languages. Now, sometimes when we think about the word tongues, we immediately go to the body part of the mouth, you know. The tongue that's in our mouth. And without necessarily thinking about it and beknownst to us, we begin to think of the wiggling of the tongue of sorts. So when you think of tongue, you think... And some people remain stuck there. And because of that, they never go beyond to experience the depth and the richness of what God has in store for them. These things must be viewed biblically. They must be viewed from a perspective of Scripture and from a perspective of faith. So, what are some characteristics of speaking in tongues? What are some characteristics of speaking in tongues? They are words of praise or prayer spoken to God. So when you speak in tongues, when you pray in tongues, it's prayers or praise spoken to God. When we speak in tongues, we address God, not man, not even ourselves. You see, in prophecy, we address others. In tongues, we address God. It is a speech or a prayer language that is empowered by the Holy Spirit that works through our spirits towards God. Paul emphasizes, he actually categorizes speaking in tongues as praying and giving of thanks directed towards God. And it comes from the spirit of the one who is praying. It comes from the spirit. Now we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. Actually, I would say spirit, soul, and body. So it comes from your spirit. It comes from the inner man. It comes from the part of you that is awakened. The part of you that was dead to sin and now has been made alive. The part of you that is the righteousness of God. It comes from the part of you that cries out and bears witness the Spirit of God that now we are the sons of God by which we cry, Abba, Father. Our spirits bearing witness with the Spirit of God. When you speak in tongues, it is not understood by the speaker. Paul says that he that speaks in tongues speaks not to men but to God. No one understands him. Now at times and in some rare circumstances, it may involve, it might be heard or it may involve an earthly language as we see in Acts chapter number 2. But the fact that it happened once does not mean that that is the standard. So some people have ended at chapter 2 of Acts. And all they want is to say, if I speak in a tongue, someone must hear me speaking in Swahili. I can't speak Swahili, I would love to learn Swahili. If I speak in a tongue, someone must hear me speak in Italian. Now, I've never been to Italy, I don't know how to speak Italian. I listen to a few Italian songs here and there, but I can't say I know the language. You know, but we're not supposed to, this is not what the rest of the scripture says. Now, praying with or speaking in tongues is praying with the spirit and not with the mind. It is our spirit that prays. It is not our mind that is praying. And then also, one very key characteristic about speaking in tongues is that it is self-controlled. Speaking in tongues is not about ecstatic speech, as some would believe. It does not result in one losing self-awareness of their surrounding, or loss of self-control, or being forced to speak against their will. Now, if you've been around charismatic circles and Pentecostal circles, you will agree with me that there has been some abuse in this aspect. But just because there has been abuse does not mean that speaking or praying in tongues is illegitimate. Just like there's been abuse with the scriptures, many people abuse the scriptures and use them for self-gain. So then should we throw away the rest of this? Should we throw away all scripture because others abuse it? Yeah. So you don't throw away the Bible because others abuse it. Why do you want to throw away an important aspect of scripture because others abuse it? Others abuse worship. There are people who sing, there are people who sing crazy songs in the name of worship. They go, oh, wow. I've not been there, but you see it on YouTube, right? Yeah. So now should we discard all of worship? No. So you do not lose self-control. The Bible describes speaking in tongues as being simultaneously empowered by the Holy Spirit and being under the control of the person speaking. So you decide when to stop. And since you decide when to stop, it's a given. You decide when to start. The Holy Spirit doesn't come upon you. No, the Holy Spirit came upon me. And sometimes people say, it came upon me. I just feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. No, no. You decide. You decide. You can switch the gear. It's like driving a manual car. In your prayer time, you can go in gear one. And then you go in gear two and you start speaking in tongues. And you go in gear three. And you can decide to do a change down and go back to gear two and then gear three. You decide. The car doesn't control you. You control the car. So what is the purpose of speaking or praying in tongues in our personal life? Let me address the grace of tongues at this moment. What is the purpose of speaking or praying in tongues in our personal prayer lives? Now, Dr. Miles Monroe once said that if we don't understand the purpose of something, we tend to abuse it. I'd like to add to that, that we actually tend to go on further to dismiss it. Not only do we abuse it, we also dismiss it. Someone else put it this way. When purpose is not known, value cannot be assigned and abuse ensues. When purpose is not known, value cannot be assigned and abuse ensues. When you don't know the purpose of tongues, you will not assign the value to them. And oftentimes you will result in a place where you abuse them or you don't even use them at all. So what is the purpose of praying or speaking in tongues in your private life? It is fivefold. Prayer, praise, personal edification. It aids prayer and for the building up of the church. Prayer, praise, personal edification aids your prayer so that your prayers can be effective and it results in the building up of the church. Go back to our text. Look at verse number 2. He says, for the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. So when you pray in tongues, you are praying to God. Not to man. Look at verse number 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Personal edification. There is something that happens when you pray in tongues. Verse number 28c. And speak to himself and God. In a tongue. Speak to himself and God. Prayer and personal edification. Speak to God. And build yourself. Look at verse number 14 and verse number 15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Spirit, soul, and body. Your mind is in your soul. When you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying. Your mind, which is in your soul, might not comprehend. Will not comprehend. But your spirit man, the part of you that is born again, the part of you that is alive, prays. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my mind also. I will sing. Not, he even says, I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing with my mind also. Praise and prayer. In a heavenly language. So when we pray in tongues, we are praying and praising God, strengthening ourselves spiritually, and building ourselves up in the faith. Look at, turn with me to Jude 20. Jude is only one chapter. It's before the book of Revelation, towards the end of your Bible. Jude 20, he says, But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, awaiting or looking, anticipating, hoping, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jude is saying, as we await for that great and glorious day when our faith will become sight, as we wait for that great and glorious day when finally we will be with the Lord, what are we to be doing? We are to be building up ourselves in this holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So until that day, tongues have not ceased. Because there are those who teach that these things have ceased. Tongues have not ceased until the day when we see our Lord come. We are to be praying and to be building up ourselves in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Actually, Paul uses speaking in tongues as an expression of praying in the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse number 18. Ephesians 6 and verse number 18. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You know, sometimes when you pray in tongues, you pray for things that you don't even know. You pray for circumstances that you don't even know. And notice, it says, praying, making supplications for all the saints, keeping alert with all perseverance. Your spiritual mind, your spiritual antenna becomes alert. You are sensitive to the things of God. You become sensitive to the things of God. You are ablaze. It's like a knife. Remember the time that you bought that knife in ShopRite or wherever it is that you bought that knife and you could cut almost anything. But then over time, it becomes blunt. It loses its edge. Praying in the Spirit causes you to be sharp. It sharpens you up so that you are alert. It sharpens you up. Praying in tongues causes you to be alert. Now, let me demystify speaking in tongues. Let me demystify speaking in tongues. This is where most people get stuck. Speaking in tongues is not about being bilingual or multilingual. It's not about speaking many languages. Some argue that speaking in tongues is a supernatural ability to speak earthly languages one does not know by the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Some have even objected that speaking in tongues must always consist of speech in a non-human language, since that is what happened at Pentecost. But the fact that speaking in tongues occurred in a non-human language once in Scripture does not require that it always happens with non-languages, especially when another description of speaking in tongues is given in 1 Corinthians 14. And there is an indication otherwise. Paul does not say that foreign visitors who come to the church in Corinth will understand the speaker. He says when someone speaks in a tongue, no one will understand. And the outsider will not know what is being said. So there is clarity which is given there. Whereas the Holy Spirit, yes, can enable or can give the ability for a language that we do not know to be spoken in a context or in a situation, but that is not the standard that the New Testament gives. It's not a standard. Speaking in tongues is not speaking to each other. Since Paul says that speaking in tongues is directed to God, it is an error and a gross abuse. It is an error and a gross abuse to use tongues to speak to each other. It's not biblical. You can't have a conversation in tongues with each other. Unless you can't. I'll just leave it there. And then also, speaking in tongues is not for evangelistic purposes. There is no record in the New Testament that tongues were used to spread the word of God or to evangelize. In fact, in Acts 2, verse 1 to 13, the disciples were not preaching the gospel on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell and they started speaking in tongues. They were not preaching the gospel. The Bible says they were praising God in tongues. And it was their praise for God that got the attention of the crowds. They were declaring the miraculous signs, the things that God has done. They were declaring praises. They were not preaching. Because the only time that we see the preaching is in Acts 2, verse 14 to 41. When now the Apostle Paul stands up to, I mean the Apostle Peter rather, stands up to speak to the crowd in a language commonly understood by all. So from verse number 1 to verse number 13, they were speaking in languages praising God, not speaking to men. They were not preaching. The preaching only begins in a language which is known, a language that Paul spoke, a language which he spoke from his natural abilities in verse number 14 to verse number 41. So now in concluding this section, speaking in tongues is about the ability for a believer or a Christian to speak to God in a language they don't know, as empowered by the Holy Spirit. The purpose of praying or speaking in tongues is for prayer, praise, personal edification, and faith building. So what are tongues? It's a language that is given to a believer, a Christian. It's a language that is given to a Christian to aid their prayer. Why tongues? A few reasons, and I won't delve deep into this because next week we'll continue looking at the blessings and the benefits of speaking in tongues, so please come again. But a few reasons I would give is because speaking in tongues is an initial evidence or sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see this in Acts 2. We see this in Acts 9. We see this in Acts chapter number 19. The Bible says in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came and they were filled, they all spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter number 19, the Bible speaks about the fact that when Paul went to Ephesus and he laid hands on them, the believers spoke in tongues and they heard them praising God. In Acts 9, when Peter went to the house of Cornelius and the Holy Spirit, without even laying hands on them, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they heard them speak in tongues, praising God. In all three instances, they were praising God, declaring the majesty, the beauty of God. Speaking in tongues builds you up. It charges you. There is something about speaking in tongues that builds you up, that charges you. I found in my own life, I was in my younger days, I think I must have been in my teenage years, we were in the church in Kasama, and I really desired this gift. I got saved in a Baptist church, then I moved to Kasama and I found myself amongst the Pentecostals. And at first I was skeptical and I was doubtful. But then I started sitting under teaching and instruction, and I started developing the desire to be able to pray or to speak in tongues. And in one service, there was a prayer line called for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remember one of the elders, I think he must have been, one of the elders, I can still remember his name. He laid hands on me and he prayed, and I didn't speak. But I didn't think I was not filled. I just believed that I was. I went back to my seat and I continued the rest of the service. 2 weeks after, there was a traveling minister in POG. Those days, there were lots of traveling ministers that would go from province to minister. And this traveling minister came to the church and he was ministering. And he was speaking about worship and just the beauty of worship. And he began to lead us in worship. And we were singing, "Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy are you, Lord." And he called everyone in the church just to lift up their hands and worship. And during that time of worship, I had a spiritual encounter. And I'll share the story next time. But I had a spiritual encounter. And within seconds, I realized that I was praying in a language that I didn't understand. And it felt so good. It felt so joyous. It felt so peaceful. It's as though I just come into the very presence of heaven itself. And then I stopped. And I looked around to see if everyone was looking at me. But everyone else was busy. Everyone else was worshiping. So no one was looking. And then I realized that I could actually continue again. And I continued. Because of just the peace and the joy and the fulfillment that came with it. And over the years, I found great joy and great benefit and great blessing praying in tongues. There's been situations when I wasn't clear what to pray about. And all I do is just pray in tongues. And there is this river of joy. There's this river of peace that comes. An assurance that the prayer has been answered. Another benefit of speaking in tongues or praying in tongues is that speaking in tongues helps you when you don't know what to pray about, just like I said. Another benefit of praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, is the doorway into the supernatural. It is the doorway. You know, last fortnight ago, Pastor Walker preached on 1 Corinthians 12, and he outlined to us the 9 gifts of the Spirit. If you want to walk in the full manifestation of those gifts as the Holy Spirit distributes, this is the doorway. It's the entry point. Now, let me address, why do people struggle to speak or to pray in tongues? What are the struggles? Well, here are a few. One is doubt. One of the reasons why many people struggle to pray in tongues, to speak in tongues, is because you doubt. In fact, James in his letter warns that simple unbelief or doubt can lead to prayerlessness and failure to receive from God. You see this in James chapter 4. Prayerlessness and doubt can lead to failure to receive from God. There is a cure for doubt. James himself gives the solution. He says, humble yourselves and submit to God. So the cure for doubt is humble yourself. So if you've struggled in this area, stop looking around. And maybe it's about time you look at the man in the mirror. Humble yourself. Humble yourself and not humble yourself and submit to the opinions of men. Not humble yourself and submit to the opinions of Pastor Benjamin or Pastor Walker or whatever TV preacher you've seen on TV, whatever books you've read. Humble yourself and submit to God. This is the will of God for you. It's for today. It's scriptural. It's biblical. Humble yourself. Depart from your traditions and your fears. And things that have been passed on to you. Just because your grandmother said this, or your mother said this. Or just because from a particular church background and we all came from a particular church background. And just because in that particular church background, we were dogmatically taught to believe something. And so you come with that stronghold. One of the ways to break strongholds is not to pray and to fight. To break strongholds is to submit yourselves to the word of God. But it begins with you humbling yourself. So there is a cure to doubt. Humble yourself and submit to God. Another reason why some people struggle to pray in tongues is fear of demonic influence. Nowhere in scripture does it say that if a follower of Christ speaks in a tongue, they are being empowered by demons. No. In fact, for followers of Jesus, it's not even possible. To the contrary, the Bible says that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11, verse 11 to 13, Jesus taught that if you ask God the Father for the Holy Spirit, He will not give you a scorpion or a snake. Now, scorpions and snakes were symbols that Jesus used to refer to the work of Satan and demons, according to Luke 10, verse 18 to 20. So in other words, what I'm saying is this. When you ask God for the ability to speak in tongues or for the baptism of the Holy Spirit or for any other spiritual gift to be at work in your life, He will give you what you are asking for and not a counterfeit. If you ask it from God, you are sure and guaranteed from the scripture that God will give you what is real. You will not receive a fake article because you are asking from the genuine God. Another reason why people don't pray in tongues is because of ignorance. When you're ignorant about something, you either gloss over it or you simply avoid it altogether. But there is a cure for ignorance: knowledge of the word of God. Another reason why people don't speak in tongues is because of the hardness of heart, pride, and logic. Now you might wonder, why would God give to the church a gift that operates in the unseen spiritual realm that is not understood by our minds? Well, one reason is to keep us humble and to prevent intellectual pride. Another reason may be to remind us that God is greater than our understanding, and He works in ways that transcend our understanding. Finally, it is a characteristic of much that God does in the New Testament age that is done in the unseen spiritual realm. For instance, if we ask you, are you born again, you say, I am. How do you know it? Did you see your spirits coming alive? It's a spiritual reality that you grasp by faith. Or what about genuine worship? Jesus says, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. A few minutes ago, we were worshiping in praise and worship. You would say, if I asked you, was your worship genuine and spiritual? You say, yes, it was. It was in spirit and truth. How do you know that? Again, it's in the spirit, right? It's by faith. What about the other spiritual realities? Like, for instance, when we come together and have communion, and we say that in that moment, there are spiritual blessings that come. And all we did is eat a cracker and drink some grape juice. But there are spiritual realities. Now we don't believe in transubstantiation, so it's not their body and the blood of Jesus. But there is a spiritual reality that happens when we come together to receive the emblem that reminds us of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the same way that there are spiritual unseen realities which affect us, the same way that there are unseen spiritual realities which affect us, which operate in the spiritual realm, is the same way we must view speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is simply another activity that occurs in the unseen spiritual realm. An activity that is highly effective, not because we can comprehend it, but because the Holy Spirit wills it. The scriptures tell us about it, and by faith, we grasp it. And then lastly, when do we use tongues? When do we use tongues? So we've discussed what are tongues, we've discussed where are tongues, and we'll look further at the benefit of tongues next week. Let's end today. When do we use tongues? When should we use them? Remember, I began by saying there is the gift of tongues, and then there is the grace of tongues. So let me start by addressing firstly the grace of tongues. This is tongues in personal prayer. Notice in verse 2 of the text, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." Look at verse number 14 and 15. "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and I will also sing with my understanding." Verse number 18, the Apostle Paul says, "I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all." So Paul obviously spent a lot of time in his private prayer life praying in tongues. And just like we saw earlier, tongues can be a form of praise and thanksgiving to God. They can also be a means of powerful intercessory and supplication prayer. Not only can this bring worship to God and breakthrough for others, praying in tongues edifies the one who does it. I encourage you, to spend time praying in tongues often, so that you may be built up and have something to bring to the church when we gather together. Notice in Jude 20, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. You see, you can only edify the rest of the body when you yourself are edified. You can't give what you don't have. When you are charged, you are better equipped to help others. When more of us spend time praying in tongues in our private lives, we will see the Holy Spirit in manifestation in the church or in the community of believers. You know, it's like a flat tire. When you drive on a flat tire, you can cover a reasonable distance. You can cover a reasonable traction. But it's very cumbersome. It's very uncomfortable. You know, you can still drive on a flat tire, right? It's a very uncomfortable, unpleasant driving experience. But when your tire is inflated, when your tire is full, you can drive further, and the drive is better, and the experience is greater. So yes, you can choose just, you know, or you can choose to step out in faith and be filled with the Holy Spirit and allow God to use you for great and mighty things. So spend time praying in the Spirit in your private life. In other words, many people say, we know, we need the manifestation of God. We need healings. We need miracles. Sometimes I think what they're trying to say is that you need to put up a better show. I think they're trying to tell ministers to put up a better show. Church is not about ministers putting up a better show. Church is about the believers gathering together and allowing God to work. When you spend time praying in tongues, you'll be able to see someone at the end of the service and they tell you I've got a headache. You lay hands on them and they'll be healed. When you spend time praying in tongues, you will meet someone in the foyer and the veranda, and the Lord will spread you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge for them. When you spend time praying in tongues in your private life, when you hear that a member of your connection group, a member of the church, or a family member is sick in the hospital, you will go charged in the Holy Spirit and lay hands on them, and they will be healed. Because you are edified, you are charged, you've got something to give. What about praying in tongues? The gift of tongues in a corporate gathering. Look at verse number 5 of the text. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So is Paul suggesting that we shouldn't do either? No. He's explaining the correct use of each. When believers are assembled together, there must be proper order so that the whole church can be built up, not just a few individuals. Paul was correcting the Corinthian church for using tongues in a disorderly way in the corporate setting. He strongly encourages the use of tongues. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. But he was concerned about the whole church being strengthened. And he didn't want there to be confusion. So in a corporate setting, the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues work together. The gift of tongues, the one that we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 10. That is when the gift of tongues come into manifestation. Paul says, he that prophesies is greater than he that speaks in tongues, unless there is interpretation. So he says, in other words, he's saying, prophecy is more profitable in a church setting unless there is interpretation. So how does it work? It works this way. Someone in the congregation has a stirring to give a corporate word in a tongue. They speak it out loud, and then there is an interpretation that comes forth. Sometimes the interpretation comes forth from themselves, or the interpretation comes from another person. What happens in that moment is that a tongue is spoken. So a tongue plus an interpretation results in a word of prophecy. So a tongue plus an interpretation results in a word of prophecy. So now, why does this not happen often? You might wonder, why does it happen? It's because of fear, because of a sense of inadequacy, because of shame, and because of guilt. None of which are scriptural. None of which are inspired by the Spirit. So really, brethren, in conclusion, how do we apply this? How do we apply this? Desire the gift. Desire it. desire the gift and desire the grace. If you don't have it. And believe for it and receive it. For those of you that have the gift, practice it and practice it more. Practice it often in your private prayer. You know what I think Paul was simply trying to say is this, is that when we spend time praying in tongues in a private setting, there will even be more manifestation of tongues in a public setting. And let's use it. It's a prayer language that has been given to us. It's been given to you. Use it. So in conclusion, we should bother about speaking in tongues because it aligns with Scripture. It must be approached sensibly. It holds practical value. It is a powerful and purposeful form of communication with God. Tongues are biblical. They are for today and therefore for now. To build you up so we might build up the church. And when they manifest to build up the church. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just right where you are there. This is your private moment with God. Yes, we've gathered in a corporate setting, but it is your private moment with God. Maybe there's an area of this message where you need God just to allow it to sink deep. Let it sink deep right now. Where arguments and strongholds need to be cast off. Father, we pray that you break through unbelief, you break through doubt, you break through fear. That you help us to see your light in the light of this word and in the light of Scripture. Soften hearts right now in Jesus' name, I pray. Soften hearts, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. God, you desire above anything else that we as Miracle Life Family Church should be full of the Holy Spirit and should walk in the fullness of what you have for us. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Just pray as the Spirit of the Lord just leads you to pray. Pray in your language, pray in your understanding, pray in your language, pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Bible says out of our bellies flow streams of living water. Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit who would come, a stream of life. There's something about praying in the Holy Ghost that results into a stream of life. A stream of life, a stream of life, a stream of peace, a joy river, an assurance, a knowing, a direction. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise.